Well, good morning. Welcome to Redeemer Bible Church. Everybody happy this morning? You sure? Okay, you remember the old song, right? Kids used to do, if you're happy and you know it. Y'all know that one? Can you repeat that? If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. If you're bored and you want to go home, say, oh me. A few of you with a bad attitude. That's good. Well, we're glad that you're happy. Keep that mindset. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements. One, if you will look in front of you, we put some of these out. They're new Connect cards. And I was kind of peering through. I think our last church service kind of moved them over just a little bit. But if you will look around, you can find one of these. And this is going to be normally for guests at the church, okay? However, there's a couple things that this accomplishes. If you have been here at the church for a while and you want to update your records, you know, maybe you're wondering, why does no one ever call me? Maybe we don't have your phone number. Or maybe, how come I don't get anything in the mail? Maybe the address has changed. So you could put that on this card, and when the service is over, you go back to the back. Today, I'll be sitting at the table there. You can bring it to me. But usually, this card is going to be time, and when they fill it out, we're going to have them come back. And you remember Christmas, Pastor Forrest gave you one of these cups, right? Okay? And this is a great little tool for evangelism, but this is also going to be a gift to any guest that comes. All right? So that's what we're going to do with that. Furthermore, whether you are a guest or a regular, if you have a prayer need, prayer request, you can also add this on this card, and you can just simply drop it. Where there'll be a little table, someone will be there. Sometimes it's Ricky, today it'll be me, and you just bring that back there, and we'll pass that information on. But in particular, today, if you are a guest, this is your first time here, we're not going to ask anything of you today except to come down to the front and sing a song. So would anybody... We're just trying to get auditions in. I mean, we cover two birds with one stone. Anyway, the point, like today, you want to update your records, fill it out. If you are a guest, we would love to give you one of these mugs. And if you're one of the folks here in the church that you didn't get one of these mugs from Pastor Forrest, take it up with him, okay, as to why he didn't. But we'll give you one today if you've been here. Is there anybody here that didn't get one of these? Wow. Everybody got them for us. Wow, that's cool. All right. Well, let me give you one other announcement. If you look on your announcement sheet, there that we're going to have some sign-ups in the coming days for Good News Community Groups. And that's what we're going to be starting here. And I'm going to be talking to you about that as a church here at the end of the month. But at that time, we're going to start having opportunity for people to sign up for these home groups. And we'll give you more information as we move forward. And we'd love for you to sign up for it. If it's one of those things you don't want to miss out on. And I'll be talking to you about it. But that's coming. It's not here yet, but it is coming. That's what we want you to look forward to, be praying about. And hopefully, we'd like to get every one of you in one of these home groups. So we're going to be doing some training for a couple of weeks with folks who are going to be hosting. And then we're going to be opening it up to you as a church to sign up. And we hope that everybody will give that a shot. Does that sound like a good plan? Okay, well, why don't you bow with me and let's have a word of prayer as we continue this morning. Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, the one whom we love, Lord, today we come to worship you afresh. Help us to do that well. Lord, help us to keep in mind that when we come together, it is not for us primarily, it is for you. We're here to put a smile on your face. We are to rejoice. May have circumstances that are difficult. The circumstances that are difficult may be something that is temporary, or it may be something that will be with us in time, perhaps even till we leave this planet. But Lord, even in that, we know that you are in control, and we thank you for that. Lord, if there's anyone here today that is struggling with relationship with you, we pray, Lord, that they will renew their commitment to you, to follow you, to obey you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has never given their life to you, or they're not sure of that, Lord, I pray that even during this worship service, during this time, something from the Word of God, something which the pastor preaches, maybe just the movement of the Spirit of God in a heart, that one individual, or maybe more, would commit their life to the greatest adventure, not only on this planet, but for all eternity. We thank you for the opportunity to meet here freely. Lord, we're always mindful of Christians that cannot do this freely. May your blessing be upon them and those who minister to them across this globe. We come here to honor you, to bless you this morning. Help us in that endeavor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Redeemer. Why don't we stand to our feet and worship together?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Service here where we like to give you a chance to welcome and talk to the people that are near you. So what I want to invite you to do is turn around and welcome some people that are near you and ask them. If you were here last week, Cameron preached about focusing on something on over the past week. If you didn't do that this past week, then you need to admit that to the person you're greeting. Like, I didn't do what Cameron told me to do. But if you did, let them know what you focused on over this past week and give them a warm welcome.
Thank you all very much. I hope y'all greeting and talking as I do. I talk to a fence post, but some of y'all know that. But it is good to make people feel welcome, and sometimes we haven't seen people since last week, and found some new people over here I've never seen before over here today. But Charlie and Jen, thank you all for bringing your friends. We're going to be reading from Psalms 94. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. And we'll be reading verses 12 through 19. 12 through 19. And it speaks to those of us that sometimes may be a little timid. Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, for whom you teach out of your law, that you may grant him relief from the days of adversity until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he forsake his. For judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wickedness? If the Lord hath not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. Thank you all very much. Please be seated. No, oh, wait a minute. You're going to sing, stand up.
Worship of me.
my chains. My Jesus, my Savior, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, every breath, all that I am. We'll be right back. beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and the part. I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. For your name, oh God. When I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure. You're an artist and a potter. I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you humbly this morning, knowing that you are on the throne, knowing that all things are in your hands. No matter it be a triumph or a failure, hilltop or a valley, that everything is going to be okay because you're in control. Lord, we pray that we can trust you through the valley. We pray that we're going to praise you from the hilltops and everywhere in between, that we would trust you happening in and around us. Lord, we trust you with this church the same way. I pray this morning that we would kneel before you, humbled and grateful that we even have this place. Thank you for these people, Lord. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for Pastor Forrest. I pray that you would be with him this morning as he brings forth your word and delivers what you want us to hear this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Blessed are you who are downhearted,
tired and weary,
and in need of something more.
Blessed are you who have had a tough year or season,
perhaps filled with ups and downs,
sorrow and sadness, misery and mistakes.
You are not alone.
Blessed are you whose dreams have been interrupted,
stomped on, or perhaps just taking too long.
There is a new thing right around the corner.
Blessed are you who don't know what to believe or why you are here today.
But despite that, you keep pushing forward.
Blessed are you who are walking through seasons of prosperity and joy,
celebration and hope.
For you have found something truly worthy of sharing.
You see, sometimes life is just hard.
There are those who seek the Lord in the midst of that darkness.
For there is hope, real, tangible hope found in him.
So today,
may you be reminded that you were created on purpose and for a purpose.
May you know that God has big plans for you. plans to prosper you.
And not to harm you.
May you walk in truth and light so that no matter where you go,
you will have a light unto your path.
May you find rest, Phaiati.
And may his love, which is never ending,
and his grace, which is never failing,
follow you wherever you may go.
For he has come
to make all things new.
Well, good morning. There's plenty of problems with the pandemic just messed up everything. One of the things that's happening, though, now is that employers are wanting their employees to come back to work. So they're now, some employers are mandating that they come in. And so employees are just these geniuses. There's this thing called coffee badging. Anybody ever heard of that yet? Anybody done it?
Just wondering.
Called coffee badging. So what it is that many employers have digital keys. So you have the little, it looks like a credit card, and you put it up against the door opener, and it unlocks the door. As an employee, probably new to the company, you think, oh, wow, that's cool. But really what's going on is the company is tracking that you're there. So what some of the employees have done is they've said, I got an idea. I really still want to keep working from home, but what am I going to be badging? And so what they do is they go to work and they badge in. They unlock the door with their badge. And then they'll also go and then they'll go to the coffee machine or to the break room and make sure that people see them. And then they'll head home and finish their work at home. Now, it's not the end of the world. Coffee badging is not the end of the world, but it's kind of it's kind of going against the flow of what your employer wants you to do. And though it seems that the specific dynamics of it are fairly new and recent, this has been going on for a long time. Long time, hundreds of years. Pastors all across America have been seeing this on Sunday mornings. For years, people come into church, they don't badge in, but they do often they see the pastor or they see the pastor's wife or maybe the elders, the deacons or something, they make sure that they see someone so that they can get recognition that they're there. And then as the service goes on, they might participate a little bit and they might do some different things, but they go home after the service. And their life has not changed at all. And, you know, I'm not actually against that. You might be some of those people here right here today, and I'm okay with that because statistically speaking, you guys like our sermons the best. That's just the nature of it. You guys are the ones who are more apt to come back every week. It's totally fine. But here's the problem. Here's the real problem with this. Is there is a God who loves you. And he loves you so much, he is not with your badge on a Sunday morning. He wants an intimate relationship with you. So you may fool the pastor, easy to do, trust me. You may fool the people sitting in the pew with you, and you may even fool yourself. But here's the deal, and I do want you to hear this. The Lord does not want that existence for you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Obviously, it's going to include coming to church, but it's so much more than that. This morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about what lengths is the Lord willing to go to have an intimate relationship with you. What lengths is the Lord willing to go to have an intimate relationship with you? Is he willing to just say, hey, this game on Sunday morning where you're showing up and you're singing really loud and let's just keep going with this? Or does he love you so much that he's like, I don't want to do this anymore? And what lengths is he willing to go to say, I want an intimate relationship with you? What lengths is he willing to go to? Now, I need to give you a caveat here and say this. If you don't hear anything else that I hear this morning, I need you to hear this. Is that what we're going to talk about is easily misunderstood all the time. And it is often understood that whenever something bad happens to someone, God is judging them, God is disciplining them, or whatever. That may be true, but it may not. Hear me when I tell you this. If I am walking along and I stub my toe, there are two possibilities here. One, I don't know how to walk, which is possible. Or the Lord may be saying, hey, the path that you're on, dummy, you shouldn't be on, get off of it. It may. It could be either one. Here's the deal. If you're looking and watching me walk from the outside of knowing, you have no way of knowing. If I stub my toe, I'd be like, Pastor Forrest is walking the wrong way. Or Pastor Forrest just can't walk. You don't know from the outside. But the Lord will surely communicate it to me. So as we're talking through, we're going to talk about people, and Israelites in specific, who have gone through some different. So we know, because the Lord has told us, that these people are doing bad stuff. But just because someone goes through something difficult does not necessarily mean that they've done something wrong. And 9 times out of 10, when we look from the outside at somebody else's life, we're going to get it wrong. The Lord's responsibility is to communicate to them what he wants them to do or not do. Is generally not going to go through us. See someone stub their toe, ignore it. It has nothing to do with you. It's the Lord's responsibility to tell them what he's doing in their life. It's really important. That's critically important. And if you've been around church for very long, you know that oftentimes people get that wrong. They see people who've having trouble in their life, they're having financial trouble or whatever, and they're like, God's judging them. Maybe, maybe not. It's none of your business. Stay out of it. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to look at a book and in the Old Testament, the book of Joel. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me. If you didn't bring your Bible, there's Bibles in the pew in front of you, or you can look it up on your phone. We're going to be in the Old Testament book of Joel. And Joel is written likely by a man named Joel to the Israelite people who are not living like they should live. And he does something there. He talks to them about a locust plague. So you're going to learn a little bit about locust here this morning and learn a little bit about locust plagues this morning. But we're going to do that as we go through this. We're going to see that in this specific case, this specific locust plague was coming upon the Israelites because they were doing bad stuff. And what we're going to see as we look at the story is what lengths is the Lord willing to go through to bring us back in relationship with him? What is he willing to do? And the first section that we're going to look at, we're going to see that the Lord was willing to bring temporary danger to the Israelites. And then the second section we're going to look at is the Lord was willing to bring temporary desolation to the Israelites. And the last section we'll look at is the Lord was willing to bring temporary darkness. But all of this was for the purpose to bring them back into a right relationship with him, to an intimate relationship with him. So turn with me to Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the first two verses, we pick up the story after Joel in chapter 1 has talked about this locust plague and all of the things that are going on. And this is a biggie. This is once in a forever time locust plague. This was a big one. And in verses 1 and 2, he explains to them that the Lord is willing to allow temporary danger in your life. He's willing to do that. That's something the Lord is willing to do, and that's hard for us because we kind of have a little trouble processing that. But read with me verses 1, or read along as I'm reading here in chapter 2, verse 2. It says, sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. This is Joel talking. Raise the alarm on my holy mountains. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. And what Joel is using here is he's using a metaphor like an army. He's using the metaphor that these locusts are a little bit like an army. And what they're doing is so powerful, it's so overwhelming. He's saying, hey, like it was a military that was coming against Jerusalem. Sound the alarm, raise the alarm. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. And in this setting, the day of the Lord is a time of judgment, a time where the Lord is disciplining his people. And verse 2 says this, it is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Not only are the locust is the lint that it's shielding the sky from the people on the earth, but it's also a devastating moment. It's filled with darkness and gloom. The last part of verse 2 says this, suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has ever been seen before or will ever be seen again. This is the biggie. This is a huge locust plague. And it's so devastating. It's so difficult. It does so much harm to the foliage, to the vegetation, that Joel tells the people to cry out in fear. And what we're seeing as we look at the story is that the Lord is willing to allow this locust plague to come into play, his people to experience danger. He's willing to allow his people to experience the danger of the locust plague. It's not for no reason. He wants them to experience that temporary danger so that they'll be willing to make changes in their life so they don't experience an eternal danger. This locust plague is not the real. This locust plague is like a forecast of what could come. Anybody afraid of heights? Most people are. There's this weird thing, and it's not really logical, but let's just say over here is the edge of a cliff, like the Grand Canyon. It's like thousands of feet down below. It's right there. As you're coming up to the edge of the cliff, even if you're all of a sudden you feel this high anxiety. I don't know if it does it for you, for me. I'm like 25 feet away from the edge of the cliff, but already I'm scared. It doesn't make any sense, right? Because logically, even if I trip and I fall down, I'm not going to go off the edge of the cliff. But yet, at this, even this far away, there's that sense of fear. And in a similar way, locust plague is doing. This locust plague is bringing up in the minds of these Israelites, listen, when the day of the Lord really comes, the locust plague is not going to be the real danger. The real danger is you're going to spend an eternity separated from God. So, learn the lesson of the locust plague. And that's the point, and that's what to the people that are reading this, is that the Lord is willing to allow temporary danger in order to help us avoid eternal danger. Then the story keeps going on. And then in verses 3 through 5, Joel talks about how the Lord is even willing to go to the next level, and the Lord is willing to allow devastation. He says, fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. And now the metaphor switches from an army to a wildfire. And so Joel is saying these locusts are like a wildfire. It's all green and lush. But on the other side of the locust plague, there's nothing green. Everything is destroyed. All of the bark has gone off the trees. All the leaves are gone. All of the vegetation is gone. And so what Joel is doing is this locust plague is bringing, like wildfire, devastation. He keeps going into verse. They look like horses. Now he switches back to the military. He says, they look like horses, speaking of the locust. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountains. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. And the imagery here at the end, he's talking about like that overtakes a city. Now, when we understand an army or a military campaign, we think of rockets going over and rifles that can shoot a long distance, but that was not the case here. What would happen is if a military, a mighty army, was going against a city, it would just be thousands of really strong dudes with swords, and they would walk through the city and just annihilate everything. Killed, and anything that was valuable they would keep, and in their wake would be nothing left of value. And so the imagery here of this locust plague is that the Lord is willing to allow desolation. He's willing to allow things to be lush and then turned into desert. He's willing to allow that. And the real for them and the real danger for us is not in the locust plague. That's not the real danger here. The real danger is living an eternity in desolation. So the Lord allowed this temporary locust plague to come through to get their attention. My parents live up in Michigan, and I've told you periodically stories about them, and they have every couple of years, usually every 6 or 7 years, their plague of gypsy moths that come through. And so what happens is my parents live on 20 acres of trees everywhere, just trees everywhere. And when these bad years of gypsy moths come through, they eat all of the leaves in the tree. All of the ferns on the ground are gone. So like when we go up there in the summertime, it's green. Like this part of Michigan is just green. And my mom sent me a picture of winter. All of the trees have no green on them whatsoever. And it looked like, wow, these trees are dead. Like this is there's no recovery from this. But then my mom sent me a picture again about a month later, and all the trees are green again. So even this locust plague, even though before him it was all green and after him it was completely desolated, it will grow back. In the context of a locust plague, it will grow back. It seemed visually to them, it seemed like complete desolation, but the reality is it would grow back. But the Lord was allowing a temporary desolation to get these people's attention. Hey, this isn't the real danger. The real danger is living an eternity separated from God. The last part of the section that we're going to look at, verses 6 to 11, Joel goes on and he describes that the Lord is not only willing to allow, for a temporary sense, he's not only willing to allow us to experience the desolation and the danger, but now he's willing for us to experience darkness. Verse 6 says this, fear grips all the people. Every face fills with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each move in exactly the right position. They break through defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along the walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. And even modern will say, yeah, this is a good, accurate description of what a locust plague is like. The locusts go everywhere. They go through everything. Nothing can stop them. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. Each of those little critters makes a noise. And you put a whole bunch of them in one place at one time, and it's a deafening sound. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, no longer shine. There are so many of these locusts in the air that you can barely see the sun. You can barely see the moon or the stars. They cover the light and it's darkness. And then verse 11, which is the climax of this whole thing. So the Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout, His mighty army, and they follow His orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can possibly survive? And until the moment when we get to verse 11, we could maybe have in this back of our mind, we could have this thing that this locust plague was just a freak of nature. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Clarifies that that is not the case. This specific locust plague was brought about by the Lord intentionally. And what this teaches us as we read this story is that the Lord is willing to allow these things in our lives. Remember, I told you at the beginning, you from the outside, you can't know what's going on in somebody else's life, so don't even try. But the Lord will communicate to us, hey, this locust plague is for you because you're on a bad path. You're not going the direction that you need to go. And the Lord's heart is not to give us these difficulties and say, hey, it's terrible to live the life you're living. His purpose in that is to say, hey, I'm allowing a temporary difficulty. I'm allowing a temporary hardship. I'm allowing that, but I'm allowing it for, I want you to avoid the eternal hardship that is ahead. And the reality is that I understand and I know this full well. I've been thinking about this all week, that this is a hard image for us to understand about the Lord. We don't like to think about God in these ways. We don't like to think that the Lord could bring a locust plague into our lives. The concept of who God is God is like a big, he's like a big teddy bear, and he's all about putting pillows on our knees and on our ankles and on our backs and our head. He's all about making life as simple and easy, as comfortable for us as he can. But that's not the image of who he truly is. He loves you. And he's willing to life, danger, temporary danger, but danger nevertheless. He's willing to allow desolation, temporary desolation. He's willing to allow that. He's even willing to allow temporary darkness. And the reason being is because he's trying to help save you from the eternal darkness, desolation, and danger. Over the past couple of months, we've had, this school has been in the building on the weekdays, and they've put in a code system which has got keys on it. And so I have a key that'll get me into the gate, and it'll get me into the door. And it's kind of fun to play with, actually. I think it's kind of fun. I'm kind of weird that way. But I intentionally go through the gate and use the key code. It's just fun. And then I like going up to this door, because when you go out on the outside, both doors unlock. It's just fun. It's like a fun thing to do. Like, I like playing with the key code. It's kind of a weird thing, but I do. It's fun. We enjoy it. But that's not the purpose of the church, so that we can key code in. That's not why we're here this morning. And we'll do our best, Alex and I and Bruce, we'll do our best to make it as fun as possible for you. We'll do our best to make it as enjoyable as possible for you as we can. But neither of us and nobody else in this building wants you to get the idea that we come here to church to just badge in. Nobody wants that. We want you to enjoy your presence here. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel loved. But we don't ever want you to get the impression that just showing up on Sunday morning is what God really wants. It isn't. What he really wants is an intimate relationship with you. And he's willing, which we learn from the book of Joel. He's willing to make us a little uncomfortable. He's willing to make us a little bit in the dark. He's willing to do all those things. More than anything, what he wants is an intimate relationship with you. So we do hope you come into the church. We do hope that you have fun. We hope you enjoy singing worship and enjoy listening to the sermon and enjoy meeting all your friends. But not for a moment, please not for a moment ever get the idea that this being together is what makes the Lord happy. What he wants more to know you and for you to know him intimately. Covered a lot of ground here today, and I just want to let you know if you need to talk about anything we've talked about, you can talk to me after the service or get a hold of me later in the week. Call the church office. I make my cell phone number is available to anyone at any time. You can call me, text me, whatever. I'd love to talk. I know some of the ground we've covered is difficult ground, and I get that. And if something seems unclear, please get a hold of me. I'd love to help you with that. But I want you to come out of here with an understanding and a mindset of understanding the Lord loves you and he's willing to do things, even if it might make you a little uncomfortable, to bring you into an intimate relationship with him. What we do at this point of the service is we have an opportunity where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And if you didn't receive one of these cups on your way in, we're sorry. We've got some guys in the back that'll be happy to share those with you. If you just raise your hand up, we'll get one of those for you, and I'll kind of explain what's going on here. We call this, and many other people do, we call it the Lord's table. And what that means is that what we're doing here is not something that is specific or unique to our church. What we're going to do is we're going to go through a process that Jesus took his disciples through, and he told his disciples to do it with. And so we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together in light of what Jesus asked us to do. And there's two parts, there's two components. We'll talk about the bread, and then we'll take that together, and then we'll talk about the cup, and then we'll take that together. The reason that we do this, or the reason that this is so important to those of us who have an intimate relationship with the Lord, the reason that that's so us is because we understand that we can have an intimate relationship with the Lord right now, but not because of anything we've done. As a matter of fact, we just made the situation worse. But Jesus came down to earth, lived a perfect life, and at the end of his life, he allowed humans to crucify him and shed his blood so that we could have an intimate with the Lord. That's the only reason we can. And so this is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did for us. This is an opportunity to reflect on that moment and say, man, Jesus, thank you. I couldn't have done it myself. If you just take back the top piece, I'm quoting Corinthians. Paul's writing, he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread." He had an actual loaf of bread. Sorry, we're not doing a loaf here. We're doing a wafer. "But he took a loaf and he broke it. And after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples. And he said, do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Later that evening, and the next day, he would shed his blood, willingly allowing himself to be beat and crucified because he wanted to provide a way for a relationship with the Lord. So we celebrate that. He said, "After supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes."
We leave this morning.
Wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the
close in prayer, and just we'll send you all on your way. Watch the Cowboys hopefully win this afternoon. But as the week goes on, if you're having questions about stuff we've talked about, I know I've been at times in my own life where things haven't always gone as planned, and I just wanted to know, Lord, what are you doing here? Talk through that. Just get a hold of me. I'd love to talk to you. But for the rest of you, for now, for I pass. Oh boy, I need your help here, Brad. Now all glory to God who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Have a good week. See you next week.